Hello, everyone. I'm T.D. Worthington, pastor of the Pathway Baptist Church in Goldsboro, North Carolina, and this is Pathlight. We're so glad to have you tuned in to today's program, as today we are celebrating Father's Day. If you happen to be listening to this program on or near Father's Day, we'd like to especially wish you a wonderful day to all the dads and granddads and others out there today. Thank you so much for tuning in to the broadcast. Today we're going to be taking you by the Word of God to the book of Luke chapter number 5, and the message is entitled, How Big Is Your World? How Big Is Your World? I hope you'll stay tuned for today's entire program. But just before today's program gets underway, I've got a musical selection coming your way, and it's called Given.
Given, let Jesus take over. Oh, given, let Jesus take over. Oh, given, let Jesus take over.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll make a way for you.
Big is your world. How big is your world? You know, one of the signs of the last days will be a world hungry for leadership. And of course, as we all know, the Antichrist is going to use this void to propel himself into great, great power on this earth. However, God's people can use this leadership vacuum to provide guidance to those who are seeking honest answers. We see this leadership crisis in government today. That's why I encourage godly men to run for office, if you will, whether it's a local office or a state or federal office. There's a leadership vacuum, and this is your opportunity as a Christian to provide guidance that's needed so badly in this world today. So many of the burdening problems we face in our nation, businesses, families, and churches will never be addressed without effective visionary leadership. I pray, Lord, give us leaders who will rise up and tackle the problems we're facing in our world today, in our families today, who will tackle these problems with power from on heaven and leading of the Holy Spirit. But on this Father's Day season, I asked Dad, could one of these leaders be you? Or could God be using you as a father to train one of these leaders for the future if Jesus tarries? Are you willing to be used of God? Will you make yourself prepared and available to leave your mark on this generation? Are you willing to shine? And in this world, it doesn't take much to shine. I remember when I was in the retail world many, many years ago, almost 50 years ago, I guess it is now, that it was a little harder to shine. I had a lot of workers at work for me, and most everybody, if not everybody, showed up on time, worked hard. I mean, there were people in varying degrees of efficiency, but everybody showed up. Everybody did a good job. I could count on dozens of people to help me. Well, today, that's not true anymore. And I've heard employer after employer talk about how hard it is to find hard workers and dedicated workers and dependable workers. So today, if you're a Christian, it doesn't take much to shine. Although training and experience may play a role, real leadership doesn't come from the four walls of a great university. Real leadership develops from the inside of a spirit-filled man or woman willing to be sold out for God. Many of God's people, tragically, are not growing as they should. If you're in a good church and if you study as you're commanded the Word of God, you might be learning a lot of doctrine, but often that is not applied to our lives. We learn a lot of truth that's not applied. We see little manifestation of it in our lives. We maintain the same level of accomplishment, keep doing the same things over and over and over again. And, you know, I've often said it's when we're looking for teachers and workers in our ministry, I've learned a long time ago, there's a big difference in having 20 years experience and 1 year's experience 20 times, because there's people that may have been doing something for 20 years, but they're not doing it any better than they were doing it 20 years ago. And in some cases, they're doing it worse. And they're ending up pretty much where they started. Our faith level remains constant and predictable. Is there not more to the Christian life? You know, Simon Peter was an experienced fisherman. But one day Jesus said unto him, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." That's in Luke 5:4. Peter had a routine as a fisherman. He'd been doing things probably the same old way over and over again. And I believe Peter probably enjoyed a measure of success. He had made his living that way probably for years. He knew pretty much what he was doing. He was an experienced fisherman. But Jesus wanted Peter to achieve something even greater. Later he described that as being fishers of men. But even as a fisherman on the earthly sense, Jesus wanted something greater for Peter. When he obeyed the master, he caught so many fish, the net began to break. Now, there's a principle there. If you remember, there was these boats on the shore. One of them was owned by Simon Peter. Jesus asked Peter if he could thrust it out a bit from the shore, that Jesus might use that boat to address the crowd and preach to the crowd, and Peter did that. It was afterwards that Jesus told him to launch out into the deep. Now, there's a principle there for every business person, and it is this. If you will use your business to get the word of God out. That's what Peter did. He said, yeah, I could be fishing right now. Probably need to be fishing right now. I probably need to be out there engaged in my profession, but Jesus needs my boat right now. He needs it. So I'm going to let him use it to get forth the word of God. I'm going to use the assets of my business to propagate the gospel. And Jesus rewarded him greatly. Jesus said, if you will use my business to get the word of God out, I will bless your business tremendously. And that, of course, is what happened with the great catch of fish. Now, you today, as a visionary leader, must broaden your horizon. I'm talking to dads today. You need to aim for something beyond where you are right now. Ephesians 3:20 says this, "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." How great do you think your potential is? Well, let me tell you something. It's greater. How much success do you think you can enjoy? Let me tell you, you can enjoy more than you imagine right now if you will turn your life over to the Lord. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 6:9, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." Grab a hold of that for a moment. God says, "I'm looking throughout the earth, to and fro." What are you looking for, Lord? He says, "I'm looking for a fella. I'm looking for someone, or man or woman for that matter, who will show himself strong. Someone who will be mighty in faith." And God said, "I will use him in a dynamic and profound way. I'm just looking for someone willing to be used." Now you say, "Well, I'm willing to be used." Yeah, but there is a price to be paid, a price of diligence and hard work and, of course, faith. But now, perhaps, Dad, is a good time to start this preparation. Right now, starting right now to develop yourself for the challenges God may give you in the future. Then when duty calls, you'll be ready, willing, and able. You see, the problem with so many of us guys is we fenced ourselves in. I remember seeing a picture, I think it was a documentary or something, of some elephants on television. And these elephants, they were mighty in size, they were mighty in strength, but they were kept constrained by what we would call a relatively small fence. It was just a small enclosure around them, and the elephants were there. Now, the elephants allowed a fence that was only really probably a foot, maybe a foot and a half tall, to restrict their movements. Using their great strength, the elephants could have easily trampled that fence over, but they behaved as if a fortified wall restricted their movements. Apparently, it takes but a small fence to restrain an elephant as long as he's unwilling to challenge the power of the fence. And that's where so many of us as Christian men are today. The devil has erected a fence. Now, we can easily overpower that fence. We can step over that fence. We can push down that fence. We can totally destroy it. But the devil has put a fence around us, and he's convinced us that we're not powerful enough to get over it. And there we are wandering around in the same place all of our lives, walking around in circles because we're scared to step out. We're scared to step out. We fenced ourselves in. Again, I ask you today, the title of the message, "How big is your world?" On the other hand, I have personally witnessed the great harm a few termites can do, although individually weak. They have no strength at all individually. You can crush them easily. But by working together with persistent determination, they can eventually destroy an entire house. And we've seen this played out in the lives of people. History records how, if unrestrained, a few weak and intellectually termite people can work together to accomplish great harm. That's a lot of what's happening in our government today. We've got a lot of people working together, and they're termite-brained people. And yet they're going to destroy the house that Washington and Jefferson and Adams built. They're going to destroy it because they're working together, pooling their termite-sized brains, and they're going to destroy things. But God's people are not like the termite. We're like the powerful elephant who's been restrained, or basically, I should say, who's restrained himself inside a weak but unchallenged fence. The devil built that fence around us, and we've not challenged it. So the elephant, in reality, is not being restrained by the devil. He's not being restrained by the world. He's being restrained by his own self and his unwillingness to exercise the power that he has. Thus, they've self-imposed a limitation on their thoughts, behaviors, and faith. They've hindered their growth and liberty. Their fences have kept them from the resources of God's blessings, which could be so easy within their grasp if they'd reach out for it. And these blessings are not only for the individual, but also for his family, for his children. So, Dad, again, I ask you, how big is your world? What self-imposed boundaries or parameters are restricting your walk with God? What fences has the devil erected around you? What worlds of blessings have your fences robbed from you and your family? Maybe the first step in stepping over that fence or challenging that fence is to establish who you really are. And I'm talking today about dads who are born-again believers. You're Christians. You're a child of God. For many people today, we get our identities from our jobs. I'm a carpenter, I'm an electrician, or whatever the case might be. The career path and success that they enjoy in their employment becomes the core of their assessment of themselves, their jobs. And a lot of men are like this. We tend to talk about our work. We talk about our labor. Now, this becomes especially tragic, though, upon retirement, when our perception of worth and influence and importance diminishes because I've no longer got that job. I can no longer say, yes, I'm a carpenter. Yes, I'm an electrician. No, I'm just retired now. I don't do much of anything, not able to do much of anything. God has placed a unique call upon each of our lives. While part of this will certainly involve your career, your job, your ministry, it's seldom the entire picture. When we accept the unique call which God has placed upon us, our career becomes a passion of joy rather than just a provision of labor. As an added benefit, our real identity does not come into question during career changes or unemployment or retirement, or should health issues force us to change our activity or eliminate the activity we've been doing all of our life. We're not challenged anymore because I get my identity from God. There were many historic moments in the life of our Savior. But let's focus, if we might, for a moment on the Lord's testing in the wilderness. In that episode of his life, if you remember, the devil gave our Lord some clear choices in satisfying his hunger, and choices relating to the scriptures, and choices in the object of his worship. Jesus emerged from this encounter with a clear determination of who he was and what he would do and his philosophy of life. After this testing in the wilderness, he emerged by identifying himself with a name he had previously not utilized in the New Testament. What was that name? That name was I Am. John 10:36, I am the Son of God. There comes a time in everyone's life when they must determine who they are and what they're destined to become. Not just who they are, but perhaps whose they are. Jesus never said, maybe after working a miracle or seeing something profound happen, he never said, you know, fellas, I've been thinking that I think I just might be the Son of God. No, he never said that. He declared himself to be the Son of God. I am the Son of God. As a result of this determination, Jesus was always positive about himself. And you're going to find in your life, just as I have found out in mine, that words have power. Words are units of power, but perhaps the most powerful words of all are the I am words. His I am, the I am of Jesus Christ, defined what he would do, and so will yours. He became the light. He became the way, the truth, after he proclaimed himself to be such. I am. I am, he says. I am the light, the way, and the truth. To become successful in the Christian life, you must likewise decide it shall be done. Concepts like, I am truthful. I am dependable. I am respectful. I am joyful. I am patient. I am honest. These I am words can define the person you will be tomorrow. This is not to be confused with pride. I'm not talking about that. This is simply being positive about the things God can accomplish and is accomplishing through your life. So, dads, here's my challenge for you during this Father's Day season. It's time to break away from small thinking. Remember the title of the message, How Big Is Your World? It's time to break away from that small world thinking. Isaiah 54, 2 and 3 says this, Enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Now you say that was for Israel. I understand that. But understand the context. The children of Israel had been conquered by the Babylonians and the Assyrians. They were taken captives in a strange land. Now they've been allowed to return to their land, to go back. They've been allowed to go back, but they went back as defeated people. They were still defeated people because they were battling a defeated mentality. Yeah, they can go back to their land today. They can build houses, but most of them are not doing it. They can rebuild their lives, their businesses, but most of them aren't doing it because they said, we're nobodies, we're nothing. As a matter of fact, we can build something and the Assyrians might come and destroy it again. Yeah, that indeed might happen. They felt small, thus they were thinking small. This is the moment when God gave them that command that said, look, you guys are thinking wrong. You need to enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Lengthen thy cords. Strengthen thy stakes. God says, you're going to be a strong people. Perhaps our Lord might be giving you the same message. Maybe our Lord's saying to you today, don't think small, defeated thoughts. Instead, think big. Think growth. Think expansion, enlarge your territories because I want to use you to bless the world. Bless the world. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to end up with a lot of money, a lot of assets, or the world's wealth. You may, but I'm not promising that to you. But I'm simply saying in your own way, you can play a dynamic role of prosperity in the Lord's kingdom. That doesn't always equate to money or assets or resources as the world would look at them. I understand that. But you can have a dynamic impact. Remember, words are units of power, and God can use you and your power to influence good for the kingdom. Quit thinking small thoughts. God says, I want to use you to bless the world. Why does God want to bless you? He wants to bless you in part, certainly because he loves you, but also he wants you to be a blessing to others. God wants to use you as a blessing to others, as a conduit through which his blessings can flow. Jesus once said to the centurion, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee, Matthew 8, 13. Our thinking limits us. We have to think big thoughts because our God is a mighty God. God has great plans for us. God is positive about his people when they obey him. We're taught that with God all things are possible. Believe for the unbelievable. Think about the unthinkable. A man by the name of Jabez once prayed an amazing prayer, 1 Chronicles 4:10, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. I remember the first time I read that years ago, I'm thinking, no way in the world God's going to answer that prayer. What a selfish prayer. Bless me indeed, enlarge my coast. But God did answer that prayer. A person who has the mind of Christ does not think in terms of lack. This person does not think in terms of barely getting by. This person thinks in terms of plenty, abundance, and more than enough. Why? So he can bless others. The Bible says, Proverbs 21:5, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. Again, I'm not necessarily talking about material assets as the world would look at them, but I'm talking to blessings and blessings indeed upon your family. What you think is what you become. We must learn proper I am concepts to think about ourselves. This is not a time to be limited by any situation of life. This is the time to be empowered to enlarge our impact for the kingdom, especially in these last days. And dads, I'm specifically talking to you during this Father's Day season. Consider King Solomon for a moment. In Solomon's day, kings were supposed to sit on the throne and occasionally go out to war. But Solomon redefined kingship. Solomon asked God for an understanding heart to judge your people that I might discern between good and evil. 1 Kings 3:9. And God granted Solomon's request. And thus, through Solomon, the influence of a king was taken to the maximum. Solomon was a horticulturist, a botanist, a poet, an engineer, a biologist, an artist. He wrote 3,000 proverbs, at least 1,500 songs. The scripture says he had a largeness of heart. That means his heart had reached new boundaries of achievement through God. As I look at King Solomon today, I would say apparently somewhere along the line, this elephant learned how to cross the fence. And in crossing the fence, he found a world bigger than he ever imagined. So, Dad, how big is your world? And how often do you allow small fences, often erected by the devil, to restrain you? Mom, are you restraining Dad from launching out because of your own unwillingness to follow? Dad, in learning to better lead yourself, you'll learn to better lead your family. I challenge you during this Father's Day season to be done with small thinking and miniature goals. There's a leadership vacuum today, but it's not just in Washington, D.C. Tragically, it's also in many of our Christian homes. Dad, you're a king's kid. You're a champion. You're destined to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. So I ask you today, why don't you begin to act like it? Act like a child of the King. So again, I ask you in the closing moments of our program today, how big is your world? And what is keeping you back? What is holding you back from being a champion for Jesus Christ? I hope this message has been a challenge to you today, and if you're listening to the message and the time frame in which it's being shared, it is the Father's Day season. So once again, we wish a very joyous and happy and productive Father's Day to all of our dads and granddads and others out there. Our stepdads, thank you so much for the role that you have played and are playing in the lives of the next generation if Jesus tarries Terry's just coming. I want to encourage you to check out ChristianBibleCollege.org. Check us out online. If you're interested in continuing your education biblically, it's a great place to take a look and see if God might be leading you to look further into continuing your education. Until next time, T.D. Worthington, say, may God richly bless you, is my prayer.